the Rajasthan Plains, one of the main milk-producing areas of northern India. Begum and her sister keep 4 buffalo. Their milk provides a steady, reliable income. And now they're members of the successful local milk cooperative. India is now a world leader in milk production. The industry supports 12 million small farmers and their families across the country. But can India's government now restrict subsidized milk imports that threaten to destroy these local cooperatives?
Before, there used to be a private dealer who bought my milk for a rate of 2 rupees. Then a man and a woman came and gathered the whole village together. At the meeting, they showed us there is no point selling milk this way and we should join the dairy cooperative.
After joining the milk cooperative 2 years ago, the sisters have been earning a better living.
It's a huge difference. I used to sell it for only 2 rupees, and for the same amount of milk, I'm getting 16, 18 and sometimes 24 rupees.
Begum is a widow, but her income alone is enough to support her extended family.
My whole family is looked after. I bought land, built this house. Everything we have is from this business.
But now this system of cooperatives, which forms the backbone of India's dairy industry, is under threat. In 2001, the dumping of heavily subsidized dairy products from the European Union and the United States caused milk prices to plummet.
Even one season of dumping creates a huge series of trigger effects. Milk, I remember, dropped in the year milk imports took place from 13 rupees a litre to 9 rupees a litre.
As part of current World Trade Organization talks, the US and EU promised to remove all agricultural export subsidies by 2013. But in reality, this would have very little effect.
Export subsidies contribute to just about under 4% of the total trade distorting subsidies that the European Union grants to its agriculture. And in fact, the highest proportion of subsidies is actually going to the dairy industry.
The European Union currently spends almost 15 billion euros a year subsidizing its dairy farmers. And these subsidies have created a mountain of surplus dairy products.
Our small dairy woman does not run on subsidies. When it goes to 9 rupees a litre, she cannot maintain her life. Very often it will be the widowed woman who has nothing else but her one buffalo, her 2 goats to survive. They are forced to sell their livestock because they can't maintain them. That means the only asset they ever had is not available anymore.
Every day, Begum takes her milk to the local cooperative collection centre, where its fat content is tested. The result determines how much she's paid per litre. At the moment, she gets around 200 rupees. But now the European Union and the US are insisting India opens up its market still further.
They are aggressively demanding a significant market access through reduction, very huge reduction of tariffs, for instance, in the developing countries, which includes India. Artificially subsidized cheap products will enter into countries like India and will have devastating consequences for a large number of poor farmers.
Despite the uncertainty over milk prices, Begum is hoping to expand her business.
I'm not only keeping this buffalo, but I'm going to get another one. I like this breed. It gives more milk and gives a good income.
We must first and foremost have the right to defend our food sovereignty. And our food sovereignty means sovereignty beginning from the small producer with 2 cows or 1 buffalo.
This sound clip comes as a courtesy of Oxfam International and TVE, Television for the Environment. Welcome back to Indie Media on Air on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. Now that you know what fair trade is, it is time to let you know what you can do to make a difference.
This part of the show will tell you how you can participate in the fair trade movement, such as buying fair trade products or selling them if you are a business owner. First of all, Sarah, tell the listeners what fair really means.
Well, Tripan, according to FairTradeFederation.org, the word fair can mean a lot of different things to different people. In alternative trade organizations, fair trade means that trading partnerships are based on mutual benefits and mutual respect. It also means that producers are being paid a decent wage for the work they do, and that workers have the right to organize. Finally, it means, quote, that national health, safety, and wage laws are enforced, and that products are environmentally sustainable and conserve natural resources, end quote. Tripan, do you have any more information?
Sure, Sarah. Here is some more information for business owners who want to know what the Fair Trade Federation, also known as the FTF, is. According to FairTradeFederation.org, the FTF, quote, is an association of fair trade wholesalers, retailers, and producers. Their members are committed to providing fair wages and good employment opportunities to underprivileged artisans and farmers worldwide. If you are interested, you can become a business friend of fair trade. Just go to www.fairtradefederation.org. And browse their website for membership information and application forms.
For those of us who don't consider themselves to be businesswomen or men and are just interested in shopping consciously, we can suggest several stores and coffee shops that carry fair trade products. Tripan, what do you have for our listeners?
Well, Sarah, after I searched the web, I came across a website of an organization called Fairtrade LA. They consider themselves a group of people who are working for proactive, ideal, yet realistic solutions in a global movement for social and environmental justice. Their website, fairtradela.wordpress.com, has a lot of information on fair trade products and where to buy them.
That sounds very interesting. You know how much I like chocolate and coffee. Do you have any suggestions where I could find these products?
Of course, Sarah. There are two ways. First, internet, and the second, local stores. Here are some websites that I found on fairtradela.wordpress.com. that sell fair trade coffee, tea, chocolate, and other products. One of them is the Equal Exchange at equalexchange.com. Another way to purchase fair trade chocolate is through dagobachocolate.com or divinechocolate.com.
Tripan, I saw that Fairtrade LA offers a wide variety of information about where to purchase fair trade products other than chocolate and coffee. Maybe we should tell the listeners to visit fairtradela.wordpress.com and find out for themselves if they are interested. What I really want to know is where I can buy fair trade products in my local supermarket or where I can buy my fair trade coffee at a coffee shop. Do you have any idea?
Of course, Sarah, there are many places that I found on a website called greenallegor.com. I found several coffee shops that offer fair trade coffee. Some of them include Romancing the Bean in Burbank, the Newsroom Cafe in Beverly Hills, the City Bakery in Brentwood, or if you live in Claremont, you can go to the Motley Coffee House.
Don't forget to mention the Conservatory for Coffee, Tea and Cocoa in Culver City, Auntie M's Kitchen in Eagle Rock, and I heard that Karma Coffee in Hollywood is a cozy place to sit and sip your coffee. Any other places I forgot about, Tripan?
Yes, Sarah. There is Java City in downtown Los Angeles, the Coffee Cellar in Los Angeles, the Cool Opportunity in Santa Monica, and finally, Coffee Fix in Studio City.
Wow, that was a lot of information. But don't worry, you can always go to greenlagirl.com and browse her website for this and other information that might interest you in regards to ethical consumerism. But I still don't know where I can buy fair trade food products. Can you help me out, Tripon?
No problem, Sarah. Stores such as Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Vaughn's, White Oats, Cost Plus World Market, and even Nordstrom carry some fair trade products. In order for you to locate them, you have to be on the lookout for their logo, which say that it is fair trade certified. For more information on stores that carry fair trade products all around the U.S., you can go to transfairusa.org. You are listening to Indie Media on Air on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and also streaming worldwide on kpfk.org. Coming up, more clues on where to purchase fair trade products.
What if I want to go shopping for clothes or home decor? Do you have any suggestions?
Sure, you can go to the Regeneration store in Eagle Rock to buy your clothing, or to 1000 Villages in Pasadena to buy home decor, jewelry, and other wonderful gift ideas. In fact, I just spoke with Kate Winsland, the store manager of 1000 Villages in Pasadena. Here's what she said.
My name's Kate Wentland, and I'm the manager at the 10,000 Villages store in Pasadena. Well, this is actually our 60th year. It was started in 1946 by a woman who, her name was Edna Ruth Byler, and she went to some countries in the Caribbean, and she bought a lot of textiles, and then she paid fair wages for them, and then she sold them out of the trunk of her car. She thought that the people who were making those products, they weren't getting paid well enough, and she knew people in the U.S. who she thought would pay enough for them. And that's how it all started. And slowly the organization has grown in a lot of Mennonite communities, a lot of small farming towns with large Mennonite populations. And just recently, we've been having stores in bigger cities. Most of our products are home decor pieces, a lot of bamboo furniture, ceramics, hand-woven textiles, block print textiles, stone sculptures, chess sets, lamps. But we have a pretty large jewelry section, too, and we have purses and scarves. We call them artisans because it's a term that is very respectful. We respect the work that they do. We feel that they are artists. They're making things by hand. We're supporting their very old handcraft traditions. That's very important to 10,000 Villages, that we're trying to keep those traditions alive. We don't want them to just move into the whole market of trendy things or trendy plasticky types of things. We want to keep those traditions alive. It's also important for us to have a very fair partnership with our artisans, and that's something very important in fair trade. We're not just telling the artisan, this is what I want you to make. This is how much I'm going to pay. And I want 3,000 of them. I'll give you a month. We're working together with the artisans. Our whole purchasing department at our headquarters visits the artisans a couple of times a year. And if they're having some sort of problems with product development or making things that aren't really selling, they'll go and live with them for a couple of months and help them develop new products that still have their local resources, like their local grasses or stones or whatever they're making their products out of. They'll still have their traditional designs, but the color might be changed a little bit. The shape might be tweaked a little, so it'll be a little more fashionable and that it'll sell, because it's important to us that not only is it traditional, but that it will be marketable, because we want to sell these things. We want them to have a good job. The folks in our purchasing department are visiting our artisans a number of times a year, and there are other people, in EFOD or Fair Trade Federation, that are constantly making sure things are up to code, things are going well. And there are trips on a regular basis for managers and board members to go and visit the artisans as well. And every time we have workshops for managers, 10,000 Villages brings in artisans, and they do demonstrations, and they talk about their lives and how their lives have changed because of fair trade. And a lot of folks say they never thought their children would go to school, and now they're graduating from college. A lot of really exciting stories we hear from our artisans. One more thing about the idea of exchange, something our the former president of the organization, Paul Myers, said was that we offer our artisans a very professional marketplace for their goods. And in exchange, they are sharing their beauty with us, some beauty that they have created, and it feels like an equal exchange.
You're listening to Kate Wendland, store manager of 10,000 Villages in Pasadena, on Indie Media on Air, KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and streaming worldwide on kpfk.org.
We have a couple of organizations. One is called the Fair Trade Federation, and the other one is the International Federation of Alternative Trade. And both of those make sure that everything is going up to code, that artisans are getting paid a fair wage, that they have a safe work environment, that children are not involved, and also making sure that the practices are environmentally sound. Well, the organization 10,000 Villages is a nonprofit, and between about 75 and 85% of the wholesale cost goes directly to the artisans, and they actually get paid up front. And that's one of the key features of fair trade, is that the money does not go back to artisans, is that they've already been paid. They don't have to wait for things to sell in the store. Artisans get paid 50% of their wage when the order's placed. So they have enough money to buy the raw materials, and because things are made by hand, a lot of them take a long time to make, so they have enough money to raise their families and eat while they're making it. The other 50% they get once they ship the order out of the country. And then our organization, 10,000 Villages, just pays rent, pays a few salaries, pays for shipping. Each store is an individual nonprofit. And we have, at our store, the manager position that's paid, an assistant manager coming soon that will also be paid, but everybody else is a volunteer. And our board is a nonprofit board, and all of our board members also volunteer in the store. We're run by volunteers, so we don't have as many costs, and so we're also able to give to make sure that our artisans get paid well enough and to also keep our prices really reasonable. I think a lot of people are surprised when they come in our store that our prices are so good. And I keep telling them, well, it's because we're not taking a big cut for ourselves. We're not trying to make a lot of money for ourselves. Our organization, as a whole, has been doing this for a long time, and they've really been developing a good way to do publicity. They've been developing a whole visual merchandising system to try to make the stores as professional as possible. And we do want to make money, but the goal is to make money so that we can buy more and more and more and more from the artisans. Our goal is not to put more money in our pockets. It's just pay the rent and then buy more and more and more from the artisans so that we can give them more jobs, and if they're well fed enough, then we can branch out and work with other co-ops in those countries too and feed more and more people, give them more jobs. If you're interested in starting one, you would need to develop a board. You would need to find enough people to start this nonprofit board, and you would need to develop a list of volunteers and raise quite a lot of money to start the store. Most stores take a year and a half to 2 years of planning and raising money and development before they can open. But the good thing about that is, with all of that hard work, in the meantime, they've been developing a community that is excited about the store. And when we opened, we had so many people who already knew about us because they'd heard about us in the planning process. Our website is 10,000villages.com, and you have to spell everything out with letters, and you can shop online. It doesn't have the depth of our product line that we would have in our stores, but it has the best sellers. Online, you can also do a bridal registry. If you have a fair trade store nearby, it is practical and very easy to have a fair trade lifestyle. Every gift you buy can be fair trade. Every cup of coffee can be fair trade. Tea, olive oil, chocolate. Your home can have fair trade things. When I'm shopping, I pretty much spend my money here. I hardly ever go to other stores. All my jewelry is fair trade. To me, it feels really easy and really obvious. And it's also important to me that the dollars I spend go to the right place. I really think about where I shop and who gets my money. And I hope that I can continue to make good decisions. I think we're lucky that there are more and more people trying to do the right thing. So it's gradually becoming easier. I'm sick of working for a living.
I'm just taking off the day. That was Kate Wentland, store manager of 10,000 Villages in Pasadena, on Indie Media on Air, KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. This was our show for today. Before we leave, we would like to thank those people who have made this show possible. Asad Ismi and Christine Schwartz, producers of Building a Just World, Fair Trade, Ethical Trade, and Canada, from CKLN 88.1 FM Toronto.
We would also like to thank Paul Goodwin, who spoke with fair trade tea farmer Julius Ethangatha. You can visit Mr. Goodwin on planetaryvoices.org.uk. Another essential contributor to this show was Kate Wentland, store manager of 10,000 Villages in Pasadena. She didn't hesitate when we asked her for an interview, even though it was on such short notice. Someone we always have to thank is Freddie Rose, our personal techie, and his invaluable help throughout the editing process. Finally, a big thanks to Bronwyn, who has entrusted us once again to produce a show for Indie Media on Air.
Before we go, we would like to repeat the essential website we mentioned throughout the show, which will help you to become a real fair trader. Here they are, fairtradela.wordpress.com. GreenLAGirl.com, TransferUSA.org, and lastly, 10,000villages.com. Good luck on your fair endeavors from Tripon and Sarah.
This has been a special edition of Indie Media on Air, exploring the question of fair trade. It was created by Tripon Kudnack and Sarah Rosenblum, graduate students in the journalism department at Cal State Northridge. If you'd like to hear more about their journalism program, you can visit them online at jour.csun.edu. Please join us again every Monday at 3 p.m. for Indie Media on Air on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara.